You're listening to Meet Us Down Here, the Thalag series. Conversations with people caring for our lands and waters. Hosted by the Columbia River Estuary Study Task Force, or CREST, this series features conversations with local organizations working to restore and protect the lands and waters of our region, from Tillamook and Clatsop counties in Oregon to Pacific and Wakayakum counties in Washington. The Thalwag is the deepest part of a river, the natural path water follows as it moves downhill. I'm Denise Loffman. Thank you for being here. Let's get started. Today, I'm talking with Jim Good, who was the director of CREST in the 70s, probably 50 years ago now, and Garrett Phillips, who is CREST's current senior coastal planner. So, Jim, I'd like you to just take a couple minutes and tell me, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, how you ended up at CREST, and what you've done in your career and worked on over five decades, really.
I started work at the very beginning of 1976. I was 31 years old when I started at CREST, just a young whippersnapper. I studied chemistry as an undergraduate, worked for DuPont for a short time, got drafted, went into the Navy instead, spent almost seven years in the Navy before coming back to graduate school at Oregon State University in oceanography. And I got my master's there in 1975, applied for the CREST job, which was just, it was for 6 months, a contract to pull together all of the literature about the Columbia River estuary. It was pretty clear early on that that was, you know, a woefully short time. About 3 or 4 months after I started, they fired the director, and I was the only other employee at the time. So the work plan for CREST back at that time was based on work that a consulting company did, Woolsey and Ham, to develop a work plan, if you will, for CREST. And that focused more on identifying issues, trying to get funding for research to quote unquote solve those issues. It was not based at all on land and water use planning. And there was a federal agency advisory committee that had been put together. There were state advisory committees, Washington and Oregon. Both of the states were working on their coastal management programs at the time. So one of the things I did, and I was the only employee at the time, was I reorganized the work plan to basically focus on land and water use planning in the estuary. October of 1979, we had completed the regional management plan and associated other efforts, and we were engaged in a dispute resolution over some of the development sites that had been proposed, mainly on the Oregon side, Warrenton, Young's Bay area in particular. And I left as that process moved forward. We had a new director at the time, Michael DeLappa. You know, may know that name. And he did a great job pulling things together. At the same time, we lobbied for and got funding for a study of the estuary. It was called the Columbia River Estuary Data Development Program. And so that was mainly run by the federal government, but CREST had a role in getting that started. And actually, it was a four-year research program. And the director of that program was in the CREST office. So that's something that proceeded after I was gone. Subsequent to my work at CREST, I got hired by Oregon State University as an extension specialist in coastal resources management or marine resource management. I spent 27 years at Oregon State with a split job between extension, the Sea Grant Extension Program, and oceanography, where I work with students in the graduate program in marine resource management. And I taught and advised students in that program for the next couple decades. I retired actually in 2006, so that's at the end of 2006, so almost 20 years ago. So I've been doing a lot of other things since.
Oh, thank you, Jim. That was such a wonderful weaving of Crest's story and your story. Thank you so much. Yeah. Garrett, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and who you are and how you came to Crest?
I guess maybe I'll start about 15 years ago, when I moved to Portland to go to graduate school in the urban and regional planning program at Portland State University. I'd been to Oregon, maybe on some college road trips from Montana, generally considered it a pretty magical place, had been up the coast a couple times. But I was in Portland for a couple years there, like 2009, 2011. And I went after graduate school and worked for the Quinault Indian Nation on the Washington coast, on the west side of the Olympic Peninsula, and was engaged in some coastal planning around relocating a village out of the tsunami hazard zone there, and some other shoreline related planning that was aimed at asserting tribal control and sovereignty over their lands. And then after 2 years there, I started looking around for some other opportunities. I found Crest, thought of how great it would be to live in Astoria, to be a part of working around the Columbia River. And yeah, I was able to get the coastal planner job at Crest. And I spent a couple years at Crest, like 2014 through 2016, doing current planning with some of the local cities, helping them review development proposals for development that's near the estuary, working on some beach and dune related work with the city of Seaside, and some watershed and forest conservation planning with the city of Owako, are a few of the things that stood out from those years. And then me and my family left and we moved to San Antonio, Texas, and spent several years there. And I did like urban inner city historic neighborhood comprehensive planning for the city of San Antonio, and also worked for one of their river authorities doing green infrastructure, sustainable stormwater management planning, which is something I had worked on a little bit when I was in the city of Portland. It was time to leave San Antonio. Fast forward to around 2022, and Crest had a need for some extra assistance. So I came back to work remotely with the intention of being around part-time, maybe for a few months. And it didn't take long for it to feel like, hey, like this actually works well and works fine. Like let's keep doing it. And so I've been Crest Coastal Planner again since 2022. Have been again working with local jurisdictions, helping them review development and consider the impacts of development that's happening near the estuary, and also working on some long-range estuary policy and planning work as well.
And great. Thank you, Garrett. Thank you both for those introductions. I have a few themes that I thought would be fun to explore with the both of you in our conversation. The first one is time, because Jim, you worked in the Columbia River, specifically with Crest and the work that we do 50 years ago now. Garrett, you're doing it now. And timelines are relatively short in terms of the natural world. In fact, they're quite short. We think in terms of weeks and months and years, but the estuary is really as a feature on the landscape or an entity, it operates in generations, in centuries, in millennia, right? And so one of the things around time was thinking about what endures. And for Jim, I'm just curious, what has remained constant despite all the changes I know that you've seen? And, in terms of the work that you did at Crest and on the Columbia River, what you've seen occur over your many years at OSU, and thinking about where we are today. If you have any thoughts around time and timelines and the difference between our human time scales and the time scales of the natural world.
My general sense is that after I left Crest, the focus was on implementation of the regional plan for each jurisdiction that was involved. And that involved for Oregon jurisdictions, Astoria, Warrenton, Hammond was a separate jurisdiction at the time, and Clatsop County involved updating their or incorporating Crest's work to meet the requirements of Goal 16 and Goal 17 as it related to the estuary. And so that really was work that carried on for several years. And at the same time, there was the Columbia River Estuary Data Development Program, CREDA. But the focus, it seemed to me, after sort of that initial implementation, and Washington jurisdictions were also going to use the estuary plan to update their shoreline management plans. And their plans only dealt with the shoreline and not with the estuary. So the estuary component, terms of zoning of the estuary, was incorporated into their shoreline master programs.
So
And
I want to clarify when you say that it was only the shoreline, so they weren't dealing with any of the land like under the water. It just was along the shore
that's correct.
on the Washington side, which is different from the Oregon side, where Oregon looks at the shoreline, but it also looks at the lands under the water.
The estuarine areas.
Yeah.
And it seemed to me, tracking things into the future, it seemed like the focus turned more to things that we did not really do that much with during the early days, which is restoration of habitat. There were a lot of dike lands in the Columbia Estuary, and my understanding is a lot of that area has been returned to estuarine productivity, removing of dikes and tide gates and those sorts of things. And it seemed in the last 15 years or so, that was a major effort on part of the organization. And I assume that's still a focus.
It is. It is. We our first episode was about our restoration and monitoring programs.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
We actually tried to get additional funding before I left to begin working on that. The only thing we did do, and I did most of this work, was identify areas that may have potential around the estuary for removing dikes and restoring habitat to the estuary. Yeah, we were disappointed that we didn't get the extra funding to do that, but it happened more organically later. I don't know, Garrett, whether that was still an emphasis when you first started working at Crest or not.
By the time I came in 2014, yeah, Crest was mostly working on designing and managing ecological restoration projects. And there was still a coastal planner role related to what I think of as the original mission around estuary planning. So, but by then, yeah, the organization had changed quite a bit.
If you're just joining us, I'm Denise Loffman, and this is Meet Us Down Here, the Thalweg series. Today, I'm speaking with Jim Good, former director of Crest back in the mid-1970s, and Garrett Phillips, our current senior coastal planner. Thanks for being here. Let's get back to our conversation. So I have another question for you, Garrett. It's another question thinking about time is, you know, what is the Columbia River Estuary teaching us over time that institutions and people can forget? You know, because we have cycles where we, as communities, as a culture, where we learn things, we implement things, things change.
And then we forget. Or you could take it in that direction, or you could take it in the direction of like all of the things that doing the work that we've been doing in the estuary is teaching us over time and reminding us over time.
One thing is that, it relates back to your question about what's stayed the same and what's changed. I thought back to a couple years ago when Oregon was celebrating its 50-year anniversary of the land use planning program, hearing a veteran coastal planner named Anno Husing speak about how the landscape around the Columbia estuary and further south really looks the way it does and feels the way it does, just in terms of how regular people experience it in a large way because of the land use planning program in Oregon, including Goal 16 for estuaries and Goal 17 for coastal shorelands. And those haven't changed much in 5 decades, but the world, has changed in a variety of ways, and the resources are changing and culture changes and our scientific understanding changes. And really the plan that you created and led, Jim, it was updated in 1989 and hasn't been updated since then. So that endures. I guess that's one side of it. I think another one is just in terms of the amount that there is to learn and know about the place, and the planning framework is immense. Any place, there's lifetimes of things to learn to know it. And the Goal 16 and 17 and 18 planning framework, there's a lot to learn there. And I somewhat often try to imagine what it was like back then and what kinds of resources you had and how many people were dedicated to figuring out how to implement those goals and what we can do now to work with them in our new times that we're in right now.
One of the things I'll say about the early work that Crest did is we spent a lot of effort engaging local communities and local people. And we really focused on the fact that this was a local organization of local governments doing local land use based on state and to a lesser extent federal policy. I think we're very successful. We had hundreds of local people involved. We had five different planning regions in the estuary. We had the Pacific County area, the Wakayakan County area on the Washington side, and then the Young's Bay, Astoria area on the Oregon side, and then Eastern Clatsop County. And then we had we had an estuary area as well, and with a separate planning committee on that, that mostly included state and federal agency people because we were working more on water quality to a lesser extent, but on basically estuary area, the water area planning, and dealing a lot with the Corps of Engineers, dredge material disposal. A dredge material disposal plan was incorporated into the regional management plan, a little bit of a restoration plan that was just identifying areas. But I think another backdrop back in the mid 70s was that anti-land use planning was a strong position of a lot of the local governments and people. So we were in a kind of a tenuous position, which is one reason why we emphasize that this was a local government effort, not the state and feds coming in. We were going to do it our way, and we were going to incorporate the local people into the effort. That's one thing that I think developed some support for the organization and what it was doing. The other interesting thing is that Crest was to have a 3-year lifespan. It started in December of 74, and it was to go 3 years and then dissolve. And it's interesting to me that it's still here and, doing good work and getting support from at least some parts of the local community.
That's all really interesting to hear, and it like challenges some of my assumptions about history, both in terms of some of the things you said earlier, like about how you were being asked to do inventories of the existing literature that felt unrealistic, like you were up against a lot, and then that there were challenging political dynamics then as well, where it's easy for us to think back and think like, oh, in the 70s, Oregon had broad-based support for its land use planning program, and everyone was rowing in the same direction. And it's just, of course, like oversimplifying things, right?
Well, another interesting thing about the history is in 1969, there was a coastal commission established called the Oregon Coastal Conservation and Development Commission. 20 plus policies were developed for coastal management up and down the coast.
Jim, I have this question, and we could phrase it in a couple of different ways. One would be like, what do you think, as you look back at the work that you did with CREST and where we are today? We had our 50-year celebration last year, but as we're looking back on the 50 years and pointing back like to the early days, when you look back, what do you think is the greatest accomplishment that Crest did during your time there, you know, that both Crest staff and the communities that we continue to serve would say, you know, where you'd be like, yes, like you're grateful that work was done, but you see it as something to celebrate and that has had influence and impact into to today. I'd be curious, just kind of thinking about the celebrations of and the good work that's been done. And if you could pick one thing, what would it be?
Probably one of the enduring impacts is the increasing support of local people, of the local communities, the importance of the estuary. We did a lot of educational outreach. We would go to all different kinds of meetings and present information. We went around and did probably dozens of presentations to local groups about how the estuary worked and what its resources were, what the problems were. And so I think there was just an increase in awareness about the importance of the estuary to the local region and to the entire watershed. And there was not a good appreciation for the role of the estuary in support of juvenile salmon coming down the river. And in fact, one of the anecdotes that I really liked was I was at a salmon and steelhead conference in Vancouver, Washington in 1976. And I did not hear the word estuary mentioned once in all the different presentations about all the problems that salmon were having in the Columbia Basin and river. The estuary was just a pipeline that went out. That was sort of what I inferred, that it was just a pipeline going from the inside where the fish would go out and come back in. And the role of the estuary in supporting particularly juvenile Chinook salmon, which spent time in the estuary, and a variety of other species, coho, which was the other major species used in the estuary, tended to go through pretty quickly, but the oversummering of juvenile Chinook salmon before they went to sea as larger fish than they were when they came in, and the importance of the food sources in the estuary, particularly the amphipod Corypham salmonis. I think there might be a different name for it now, but that particular species was just an incredible food source for young salmon.
Oh, thank you, Jim. I really appreciate that. Garrett, if you were to think on your time at Crest so far, what would you say in all of your work over the years would be one what you would consider a win?
I think the best stuff that I've been able to contribute to is relatively sort of incremental work of being there for local jurisdictions as they're implementing their policies and regulations that were created based on estuary plans that were created in 1979 and 1989. I'm interested in working with the local partners to make a bigger contribution and doing some updates to, the synthesis of the science or a larger planning effort. And I honestly am still figuring out how we can do that. It would be a major effort. The work that Crest's restoration team is doing and has done is really a highlight of the last 20 years. And not just like the number of projects or how big they are, but advancing knowledge about like how to do them well, so that they really result in some benefits to juvenile salmon. So I'll highlight that and say that I'm still working on it.
I didn't mention before, is there maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, I met with Mike Morgan, Reinmar Bartle down at
Yes, Garrett and I were both
CPSD.
there.
They were really important supporters of the CREST effort as well, more in the background. But, and Garrett, I'm suggesting that this is an area that still has potential. What are the implications for a large earthquake and tsunami for land use planning in the Columbia Estuary?
It reminds me of some work that the state of Oregon is doing with estuary resilience action plans through community-driven processes, really focused on community assets and infrastructure
Right.
and what they can do to make those more resilient. And it seems like it could be a good connection and a good start for a community before doing a full estuary management plan update, potentially, to do an estuary resilience action plan.
This has been such a wonderful conversation. I want to thank you both, Jim Good, former director of CREST, and Garrett Phillips, CREST senior coastal planner. Thank you for the conversation spanning 50 years and talking about time and the river and the many, many aspects of the work that CREST has done both in the past and currently. I just really appreciate you both being here and sharing your thoughts and experiences with me and with the listeners. Just thank you so much. And for everyone listening, thank you for listening to Meet Us Down Here, the Thalwag series. We'll see you down here next time.
Meet Us Down Here, the Thalweg series, is hosted by Denise Laufman of Columbia River Estuary Study Task Force, or CREST. You can learn more about CREST at columbiaestuary.org. This series is produced at the studios of KMUN by me, Emily Horde. The Thalweg series airs the third Tuesday of every month and can be found wherever you find podcasts.